It is B&E with you on this Wednesday, dragging you up over the hump on a hot, hot week in Austin, Texas, but a lot of hot sports topics out there, too. But even the fourth, fifth story on the rundown, pretty good stuff. How about Jose Altuve, grand slam last night into the Crawford boxes to beat the Rangers? That was fun. Happened to be there. We were sitting in the Crawford boxes, so that was kind of cool. I've never sat out there in the boxes in left field. That's where the seats were, where we were.
Is the train still there?
Train still above you, yeah. Yeah,
is
train.
It?
Yep, that was moving. Couldn't see it, though, because I was underneath it almost.
Sweet.
Pretty good. That was fun. NBA playoffs, spectacular performance, historically great performance by Kevin Durant last night, to say the least. You said it, Buck. He maybe, you know, to win, they need 50 out of Durant, and he scored 49. Also kicked in 17 rebounds and 10 assists. And
yeah, but I thought they would guard him at least.
Yeah, we'll talk to Jeff Goodman about that here shortly. We've not talked to Jeff, but excited to. He's used to cover hoops for ESPN. He's now over at stadium.com. And he was at ESPN, CBS, Fox. He's been all over. He's a tremendous national college basketball writer. In addition to some NBA with him, we'll talk about Texas basketball and the addition of Trey Mitchell from UMass, a 20-point-a-game scorer, essentially, 6'9", versatile forward who can score in a lot of ways. He's got a great back-to-the-basket game. He can shoot a three. Just as Isaiah described, you watch his film in 44 games played at UMass. He can go both ways, use both hands. He's got some back-to-the-basket games, Buck. You don't see that very often,
right?
A big dude, man. He can go back to the basket. And then, of course, he's got the straight-up, face-up game, which with that signing or that commitment, Jeff Goodman has Texas in his top three in his way too early college basketball preseason top 25, number three behind Gonzaga and Villanova.
I can see that.
Yeah, and so we'll get some intel from an expert on that situation. But so fun stuff there. Yes, we have the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team in town tonight. And yes, we have name, image, and likeness signed into law in the state of Texas. And so you already want to be Kai Money's agent.
Dude, he'll never have to worry about a condo back at Sal Padre if he doesn't. Anytime he goes to Sal Padre, I got him hooked up.
Somebody said you could have Kai Money's golf cart rental location. Kai Money, he got all kinds of things up and down the
little
island
South
down there.
Padre,
yeah,
he'd be the man.
Yeah, we're coming up with ways, name, image, and likeness.
Score a touchdown against OU and see what happens.
Ooh, exactly.
And the winner, maybe.
Cashing in. That's now state law, and the governor signed it yesterday here in the Lone Star State. We'll go into effect on July 1st. And we'll hear more from Chris Del Conte, Texas Athletic Director, on that coming up on the university being prepared. The athletic department has been preparing for this and their plan to handle name, image, and likeness at UT. But without further ado, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Excited to talk some hoops, college and pro, with Jeff Goodman. You've seen his work at ESPN, CBS, and Fox. He's now at stadium.com. Jeff, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
So is Austin a college hoops town yet or what? Are we there?
I don't know about that, Jeff. You know, they haven't been liking basketball here lately. I had to let the head coach know that they don't like basketball at this place. So we'll see. We'll see.
I think Beard will change that fairly quickly. I think he already kind of has. Once people see what he can do, and the energy he'll bring, and you know, listen, Shaka just didn't get it done in Austin. I think Beard, with the talent he's already brought in, and I think this is kind of the tip of the iceberg, to be honest. I think this is going to be an every year occurrence, where Chris Beard is eventually going to be fighting, not just for the top transfers, but for some of the top high school players in the country, some of the top, you know, one and done guys. And I know they've had that with Shaka a little bit, but it's going to be at a different level under Chris Beard.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. People in the state of Texas don't know much about prep school stuff because everybody comes out of high school, especially in the game of football and even basketball. They go right on to colleges. But back east, you know, Midwest, prep schools, yeah. The importance of prep school basketball and preparing kids, it may be grades, it may be want to get a little bit stronger. How important are some of these prep schools? Are they still strong all over the country?
So actually, it's funny you ask me that because I broke into the industry covering prep schools. I'm here in Boston, and I started covering New England prep schools when it was kind of a boom, and there was so much talent in them. It's not like it used to be. It's definitely not. I think you see so many kids now reclassing. You know, the rules changed a couple years ago, so the prep schools aren't nearly as strong. There's still good talent coming out of them, but it's not like it was when I was covering it 10 or 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. But there is an advantage. There is an advantage to certainly getting kids that are older. You look at who's won national titles over the last half dozen or so years. Everybody's older, you know, like look at Kentucky and Duke this past year. Now, this past year was different with the pandemic. Younger teams obviously had more issues because they weren't on campus as early as they normally were working out in the summer. But ultimately, you're looking at Villanova, who's won a couple national titles. Even Baylor last year, they were older. They were older. That's how you win these days. You don't win primarily with one and dones. You know, and Beard's done a great job with transfers over the course of his career. The question is, can he, you know, he's got an advantage over, everybody's going the transfer route now because they have to. There's almost 1,600 scholarship players in the portal right now for hoops. So everybody's been forced to go this way. The advantage for Beard is he's already used to, even going back to certainly his Arkansas Little Rock year and prior to that, putting together a team like on the fly, right? Figuring it out in a year, having all these new faces and trying to figure out the chemistry and the pieces, how they fit year to year, where so many other programs are used to what? Developing, you know, 3-4 year guys, having continuity. That's kind of a thing of the past now.
Yeah, and he has specialized in and almost won a national title at Texas Tech, obviously. Jeff Goodman, our guest. You know, for our audience, Jeff, walk us through some of these transfers, and we'll go player by player. But we know four players from Shaka Smart's last roster are going to be back with Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones, Jace Febris, and Brock Cunningham. But the rest of the roster, completely new. And the newest name is Trey Mitchell, the big man from UMass, right in your neck of the woods. Looks like a 20-point-a-game, very skilled player. What do you know, and what can you tell our audience about Trey Mitchell?
Yeah, he's terrific. I mean, terrific, and kind of got a bad rap because, you know, he was packaged with this assistant coach, Tony Bergeron, who left UMass. And so a lot of schools backed off because Bergeron wanted a job at first. So a lot of schools said, no, we're not hiring you to get Trey Mitchell. But Trey Mitchell is an incredible kid, terrific talent, skilled big, plays hard, needs to probably rebound a little bit better, but, you know, averaged almost 19 points a game last year, and he's kind of – he was one of the two missing pieces, really, for Texas, because I don't even know if Jericho Sims announced he's done, but I assume he's not coming back at this point with Trey coming in. So now you've got, you know, a couple forwards in Timmy Allen and the kid from Vandy, Dylan Disu, and Christian Bishop from Creighton. Now you add Trey Mitchell, so you've got, you know, four frontline guys that are all proven to add to Ramey and Andrew Jones. So now really you're missing one more guard. Devin Askew is probably the key to this team now, the Kentucky transfer. He's the key because, frankly, you can't win without a good point guard anyway. So now if Askew becomes the guy that a lot of us thought he was going to be, and he really struggled last year at Kentucky. Some of it his fault. Some of it, I think, John Calipari's fault. Then they're really in business. If not, they need another point guard. And I think if they're smart, they're going to try to get another point guard anyway, just in case Askew's not ready.
Yeah, and that's the question I asked about Askew. Is he a kid that's – is he still young and has to develop his game, or did he come out of high school – ready to go, and it just didn't work out at Kentucky? There's something in between he and the coach, maybe maturity level, or is this a talented enough player that could come in right off the bat and with Chris Beard really fit what he's trying to do because he's that talented?
I love the kid when I saw him two summers ago. I saw him at USA Basketball out in Colorado Springs and fell in love with him because of his toughness, the intangibles, all of that. And he was terrific. Last year at Kentucky, he was not very good. And part of it, I think, was the system. Mm-hmm. Part of it was the players surrounding him, that they didn't make it easier for him. It's not like he had pros around him, right? Part of it, again, as I alluded to earlier, was those freshmen at Kentucky didn't have time on campus, as much time,
right,
to build that chemistry. And part of it was Devin Askew. He couldn't get by dudes. He just couldn't get by guys. And that's the area for me, if I'm Chris Beard, I've got to figure out, if he's my starting point guard, the best system that suits Devin Askew and allows him to kind of make plays for others and also not have to do too much in terms of getting by guys because it is tough in that league. I mean, you've got a lot of athletic point guards, and that's not his strength. His strength is kind of, you know, he's kind of a strong power guard rather than that jet quick point guard.
Devin, ask you one of the five transfers coming in. Jeff Goodman is our guest. He's got at stadium.com. He's got his preseason top 25 way too early, and got Texas third after the transfer of Trey Mitchell was announced. And Jeff, I mean, one of the things we've talked about here is the experience of these players. I mean, with the roster we just went through, I mean, you're talking about over 700 high major games played, over 460 starts. So it's a new team and a new roster, but a lot of guys have played high major and high caliber basketball in big conferences.
Yeah, and I love, you know, some Brock Cunningham is a piece.
Yeah.
You know, that's great, too. You've got enough guys returning. And Andrew Jones, it seems like, has been there forever and ever and ever. I love Andrew. I mean, that great kid, and I'm so happy for him. But, you know, listen, ultimately, for me, the reason why I put Texas all the way at number three, partially talent, but more than anything, Chris Beard. As I tweet all the time, in Beard I trust. I just do. I've known Chris Beard for 15 years. I think, you know, very few work harder. I hate when people say, well, nobody works harder than Chris Beard. I don't know everybody who, you know, works hard in the industry. But Chris Beard, I was in Lubbock last year for their Kentucky game and spent like 3 days there. And I remember the game ended. They lost to Kentucky at the end. I think it was like a 4 o'clock game or something. Game ended about 6:30. We were in the room, in the film room, I think till 2 a.m. I finally had to leave because I had to catch a flight out the next morning. He and some of his staff members were still there breaking down film. That's how Chris Beard operates. He doesn't know any other way because he's the ultimate grinder. I mean, he's a guy who was in the ABA coaching, you know, a decade or so ago. So, you know, for me, it's more like Chris Beard to Texas was the biggest no-brainer hire I've seen in the last 10 years in college basketball for me.
That's great. Jeff, I know you know an awful lot about the NBA, too. We've seen some of your work, but talk to us about last night's game with Milwaukee and Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, to me, is the ultimate. I mean, he's the deadliest weapon in the NBA, and he could be. If he was a selfish player, that guy could score 50 every night. I don't care if he's got two other stars on his team, but he's a guy, he really does like to win. People don't understand. This dude really likes to win games, and he likes to get people involved. But if he was to be a selfish player, 50 a night I don't think would be a problem. But tell me why Giannis is not covering this guy last night when they're up by 16.
You know, it's crazy. I think I wrote the first national story ever. Like I said, I came up during recruiting on KD when he was 14, 15 years old. I remember sitting with him in a gym in New Jersey, and he didn't say anything. And even when he got to Texas, he really didn't talk at all. You know, it's so funny to watch his evolution now as a man. And I think everything was easy for him in some respects until he went to Golden State, right? Everything changed. He was kind of the golden boy nationally until then. And then everybody, all of a sudden, half the world like hated him, mm-hmm. the basketball world. And he fought back. Like that was the one thing. Kevin Durant had never been used to any sort of criticism, and he gets it and he fought back. And I think the one thing with Kevin Durant was, to me, off the court, he was always like soft-spoken, didn't say anything when he was younger, but on the court, he was always an absolute killer. And there's just nobody like him. We've never seen anything 7 feet who can do some of the things he can do, you know, with how fluid he is, the way he can handle it, the way he can shoot it. And he's improved defensively. I used to rip on him all the time for how bad he was defensively, even when he was at Texas. And he's gotten so much better, obviously, in that regard. And that flips it to where we talk about Giannis a little bit. And as good as KD was, Giannis was that bad down the stretch last night. And I'm with you. I would have liked to have seen Giannis take the challenge instead of having Chris Middleton on KD and see what Giannis could have done. But I think Bud realizes there's no way in hell Giannis can stick with KD either. So ultimately, do you want to use Giannis's energy on the defensive end when he can't guard KD? He can't. He's a great defensive player, but he can't. Nobody can guard KD. Instead, you know what? You hope that Giannis saves his energy for the offensive end. But man, like that play that pass from Middleton to Giannis where he dropped the ball with whatever it was, however many seconds were left on the game. That was brutal. I mean, he just – and it was in his head. You could see it. He's not making free throws. You know, you could just see with his body language how frustrated he gets. And what I will say about Giannis, I know a lot of players on that Milwaukee team, they all tell you, like, there's no better kid, no better person than Giannis. Like, he is salt of the earth, like the best superstar in the world. But you know what he's not? Talent-wise, he's not KD. There's a gap there. There's a gap right now, I think, between KD and everybody else on the planet, including LeBron James at this point. Like, LeBron's gotten to that point age-wise where, you know, his body started to hit him a little bit. I mean, it happens. It happens with everybody. It's just amazing what KD's done. I know he got frustrated the other night when Jerry Greenberg asked him, you know, did you ever think you'd get back to this where you are now? And KD kind of, you know, I don't know, didn't handle it as well as he probably could have, got frustrated with the question. But it's true. Like, the guy's come back from, like, the major injuries now, and he's as good, if not better, than he was prior to that. You just don't see that very often.
He's a scoring savant, and I think we both agree with you, Jeff, the best player in the game right now. And if there was any doubt, it was on display last night. He's at Goodman Hoops on Twitter. He's at stadium.com. He's Jeff Goodman talking some basketball, Longhorn Hoops, and the NBA. Any way to handicap this now? I mean, the injuries, it's almost like a war of attrition here in the NBA. Now the word that Kawhi Leonard's going to be out for Game 5 and maybe the rest of the series in the West. And, you know, Utah, you know, dealing with Donovan Mitchell's a little bit dinged up. Chris Paul now into the protocol, it looks like. I mean, who's going to have any players left at the end of this thing, Jeff?
It's insane. I mean, it really is a war of attrition of, like, who, whatever superstars are left standing at the end. I never thought I'd say, but, like, you know, Utah might be, you know, the favorite here, if depending on what happens with Chris Paul, right? Like, if Utah can get past the Clippers now without Kawhi for this next game, they might get a Phoenix team that might not have Chris Paul for the start of the series. I still want to see what happens with Brooklyn. Can they somehow get past Milwaukee now and then get to a point when they can get Kyrie healthy and Harden healthy? I don't really see it happening. That was always my question with the big three, including KD, was like, are these guys really going to be healthy when it matters most? I mean, the other team nobody's talking about is Philly. Maybe Philly right now. Maybe they're the healthiest, which we never thought we'd say, a team with Joel Embiid. But maybe they run in the healthiest, and I'll give Doc Rivers credit. He has done a hell of a job with that group, which looked completely dysfunctional for the last couple of years. But they got rid of Al Horford, brought in guys that can space the floor like Seth Curry, and now they look like a team that fits together, even with Ben Simmons being, you know, a point guard that really doesn't want to shoot the basketball. Doc Rivers has also found a way to keep, like, get Embiid and Ben Simmons working on the same page. And one of the things with Doc that, to me, is probably his best gift is his ability to connect with people. And that's all that team needed. In addition, again, a couple floor spacers, which they were able to get when Daryl Morey took over as the GM.
You know what? Tell Doc to go ahead and take Ben Simmons over to his house and pull out the rollaway hoop and shoot free throws in the you know, the driveway, and just over and over shoot 1,000 free throws, or take the peach basket and get it done. It's amazing that a guy as talented as he is can't shoot free throws even. That's crazy.
It's amazing. I've known Ben since he was like a freshman in high school when he came over here at Montverde Academy in Florida. And, like, it is amazing that, think about how much criticism he gets and how many people tell him, you can't shoot, you can't shoot. Most kids, what would they do? They'd shoot all the time. They'd be so frustrated.
Yes.
And they'd say, I'm going to prove you wrong. Like, you've got to give Ben a little bit of credit. And I know maybe people don't think of it this way, but I do, of, like, saying, you know what I do really well, and I'm going to keep doing it instead of trying to do what I don't do well and hurting my team. He's just saying, like, listen, there are better perimeter shooters than me. Let them shoot the ball from the perimeter, and I'm just going to dominate around the paint.
Yeah.
It is interesting, no doubt. Great stuff, Jeff. Really appreciate it. Hope we can do this again as the playoffs move forward, and certainly as we get closer to the college basketball season with your connection to Chris Beard, and now we're building a connection with Coach Beard as well. So appreciate your insights on that, and look forward to doing it again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my talents out to Austin soon and try to get out there. My daughter's a rising senior in high school, so I'm going to try to get her and my wife out to Austin at some point in the preseason. So
come join
I hope
us.
To see you guys out there.
Yeah,
thank
let
you.
Us know when
I
you're
will.
Coming. And we'll,
thanks for having me, guys.
Love to visit. There he is, Jeff Goodman, basketball analyst at Stadium. Used to be at ESPN, CBS, Fox. You can tell he climbed the ladder from high school recruiting prep schools to one of the best in the business. At Goodman Hoops, got Texas third in his way too early preseason, and Chris Beard a big part of that. The roster, one thing, but we know this. Chris Beard can flat coach wherever he goes. He coaches them up, and that's exciting for Texas. And, yes, they're going to like basketball here, Buck.
You think so? Are you sure?
Here's what I am.
Are you sure?
Here's what I think could happen. Actually, I know it will happen, whether he wins the title or not. How about if KD leads Brooklyn to a championship? And after what you saw last night, it feels like a guy on a mission. Because, by the way, as he said, you can get mad at Giannis, but Giannis wouldn't check him. And I don't know anybody in Philadelphia that can check him. So what does it matter?
Yeah, so Giannis checked out. That's what he did.
But guess who's going to be at the first home game for Texas? Kevin Durant.
KD's
going to be there. I mean,
of course.
That's the kind of stuff Chris Beard will absolutely do. Kevin Durant will be in that building. Kevin Durant is
For
the big games, Kevin Durant is going to be brought in and be part of this. And, I mean, Zay, you know this in recruiting. I mean, this is the best player in the world. You just heard it from Jeff Goodman. That's the best player on the planet, and it's
right.
a pretty wide gap. Well, you want him around your program. You want him
a
up
lot.
In you want that
him
dude
and
up
his
in
backpack.
Here. Him and his backpack.
Yeah, if I was CDC, I would start putting his logo a little bit more on UT basketball stuff.
Yeah, likeness and image and all that. You might as well start spreading that around.
Start
best player ever.
Spreading the news. Yeah, absolutely. All right, thank Jeff Goodman. That'll be the first, hopefully, of many conversations with him. He's tremendous, talking hoops of all levels, and enjoyed that a lot. We'll come back when we do. Hey, it's the live music capital of the world, just because we got soccer and golf and baseball on the brain. Tom Gimbel will walk us through our live music roadmap for the week and the weekend, where you're going to get out and see some great stuff on this. And by the way, our station is a country music station today, if you didn't know that.
That's right.
A lot of times you'll hear like a, what'd you say you heard? Big Bad John
Big
was
Bad
on?
Big Bad John, Johnny Cash, Boy Named Sue. Bring it, Shania Twain.
Yeah, we know. Signal's bouncing. We're like Hot Country LaGrange this morning, B&E with
104
you.
Hot Country.
Hot. Ooh, nice job. You used to be a country radio disc jockey.
Yes, I did. Yes, sir.
Tom Gimbel on the live music capital of the world next.
B&E.
It's a Wednesday on the Horn. It's a busy one. It's a red-hot Wednesday, dragging you up over the hump. Got the national women's national soccer team in town tonight. This is a pretty big deal. If you love soccer, if you don't know a lot about soccer, let me explain. This is the best women's soccer team on the planet. We just talked with Jeff Goodman about Kevin Durant being the best player on the planet. Well, in women's soccer, this is the as good as it gets. They've won 4 World Cups. They've won 8 CONCACAF gold medals. They've won 4 Olympic gold medals since 91, and they're the number one ranked team in the world right now. They're playing an international friendly tonight with Nigeria, but it's not an exhibition game. They're trying to round out their Olympic roster, so the roster of 23 after tonight's game will be shaved down to 18. So spots on the line, so that should be fun. It's going to be a packed house out at the new stadium, Q2 Stadium, and that'll be fun. Excited about that. The U.S. Open tees off tomorrow, which we're excited about. We got Texas and Omaha, the Longhorns. And how about Chris Beard? You just heard Jeff Goodman picking Texas in the top 5 in his way too early preseason top 25 poll, which is awesome. It's also a great live music weekend as music continues to come back online in full. And every Wednesday at this time, bottom of the 9 o'clock hour, we get the privilege and the pleasure of talking with the general manager of the Austin City Limits television show, that worldwide brand, and what a great program it is. It's our buddy Tom Gimbel. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, E. How are you?
Good. You going to be at the soccer match tonight?
I think I may try to get out there. We've got tickets. I'm excited to see that stadium come alive with fans and some players on the field. I had a tour to see it last week, and the place is just a palace. But I can only imagine how awesome it's going to be when the stadium is full and you've got some great soccer being played down there on the pitch. So I'm excited about it. Really excited about this Saturday and the first home game for Austin FC. That's going to be historic.
Yes, and are you planning to make the trip to Omaha to follow your Longhorns on a national title?
I've never been to Omaha. I've always wanted to go to the College World Series, and I love this team. I did go to the game at the Dish where they closed it out, which was just an electric atmosphere. But unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it up to Omaha someday. That's on the bucket list for sure.
Well, there's something about that team, Tom. I know you've seen a lot of good Texas baseball teams since you were a student there. I mean, this group, 5-0 in the postseason. They've outscored their opponents 49-12. I mean, they've only trailed in like just a half an inning. There's something about this group that's pretty high level.
Well, every time that South Florida scored, Texas came back and doubled them in the next half inning. You know, if they scored one run, we scored two. If they scored two, we scored four. I mean, this team just is like a boxing counterpuncher that, you know, if you give them a shot, they're gonna give you one back and then twice as many. They are not only very talented, they're very competitive. And they believe in each other, and they will pick you up somewhere, you know, from 1 to 9. There's going to be someone picking you up in that lineup. I mean, there's really no holes in the lineup. This game where they closed it out on Sunday, really the damage was done from, you know, Cam Williams down. So 5 through 9 is where most of the damage was done. They're just a tremendous, tremendous team. Great pitching, great defense. That play that Faltini made to get the guy out at third was so good that the umpire got confused.
Yeah, how did he make that play? And that was one of three tremendous defensive plays in that inning that prevented a big inning for the Longhorns. Yeah, they do a lot very well, so it'll be fun to watch them. They begin play on Sunday night, and how about the Father's Day it's going to be with U.S. Open? It's soccer the night before. You've got baseball on Sunday night. It'll be a lot of fun. But there is also live music this weekend, Tom, and that's what your specialty is. You help our audience put a roadmap together and pick out some great shows. We post all of your picks each night from tonight through next Tuesday at our website at hornfm.com with your live music picks. But then you come on with us and pick your favorite 8 or 10 shows each Wednesday. And what might they be? What are your favorite shows of the week?
So tomorrow night, Marshall Tucker Band.
Whoa!
Yes, Marshall Tucker Band is going to be at Green Hall. You know, heard it in the love song and all the great
from
songs
Spartanburg, from South Carolina. The Marshall Tucker Band. That is some old school Deep South rock and roll and rock and roll country right there.
There's no one in the band named Marshall Tucker. Marshall Tucker was a blind piano tuner from Columbia, South Carolina that they named the band after, but they've got some hits. They've been around for a long time, and to see them at Green Hall is pretty special. So that's a good way to kick off your music weekend. The Drop-In, which is taking place at the HEB Terrace out at the Long Center. It's a series that's been going on every Thursday night this summer, and this week you can see Walker Lukens. So Walker Lukens, he's from right here in Austin, great singer-songwriter. He is going to be at the Long Center for the Drop-In, 8 p.m. on Thursday. On Friday night, a bunch of good shows. Jackie Venson is going to be holding it down at Antone's. She taped Austin City Limits for us last year and was just absolutely phenomenal and just a tremendous guitarist, and that's going to be a good place to see her at Antone's. Our friend Jack Ingram is going to be playing at the Hot Spot. You can see him 7 p.m. Friday evening. Jason Bolin and the Stragglers are going to be at the Paramount Theater on Friday night. And then Shaky Graves is going to be headlining at Stubbs back at the outdoor amphitheater there, the Waller Creek Amphitheater. I got a chance to see Black Pumas at Stubbs, and it's just great when you're a Friday night outside under the stars, seeing live music at Stubbs. That's a good experience. So Shaky Graves is a recommended show this week.
Austin High Maroon Shaky Graves, right?
That's right. You know what? And another Austin High Maroon, Gary Clark Jr., is going to be the Austin City Limits episode this week on Austin PBS. That's an encore episode. But obviously Gary Clark is just phenomenal, and we're really proud to feature that one this weekend, so you can check it out on Austin PBS. And then if you want to get out and see some more live music on Saturday night, we've got the Leroy Brothers at Continental Club. It's great to see Continental Club open and filled with you know, fans seeing live music again. Pat Green from San Antonio, he's going to be down at Green Hall this weekend. And then this is, you know, one of my favorite shows of the week. We just announced a couple new tapings coming to Austin City Limits. One of them is John Batiste, who's going to come on July 17th. John Batiste is the musical director for the Stephen Colbert Show, as well as just, you know, all the other great things that he does. But he is going to be coming in July. And then an artist named Charlie Crockett, who is just awesome. He's going to be performing at the Whitewater Amphitheater this weekend, but we're going to tape him for Austin City Limits July 29th. So big fan of Charlie Crockett, kind of pure country, dirt road country music from Charlie Crockett. He's the real deal. We're excited to feature him, but you can check him out 8 p.m. on Saturday at the Whitewater Amphitheater. And then our music week wraps up on Sunday night out at the Hotspot. This is special because Blue October, who's normally, you know, a big rock band, brings a big production, you know, heavy sound. They're going to be doing an acoustic show at the Hotspot on Father's Day on Sunday night. So you can get out and enjoy Father's Day and see some live music. There's also some great Juneteenth celebrations going on. Hotel Vegas on Saturday night, and also the Long Center on Saturday night are going to feature Juneteenth celebrations with a number of artists. Lady Earth, Sweet Honey and the Rock, Chief Cleopatra, and more are going to be at those venues. So, yeah, so much good stuff going on. We've got Juneteenth. We've got Father's Day. We've got the Longhorns in Omaha.
Yeah, man.
We've got Austin FC. I'm pumped, man. This is a great week to be in Austin.
Yeah, and the world's opened back up. And it's pretty cool that you didn't make it one of your featured picks, but we've been talking this morning. Actually, we broke the news on Monday announcing that Eric Clapton is coming to Austin in September, and he's going to play. The opener is going to be Jimmy Vaughn. What a great couple of guitar players and legends will be there. But you can go see Jimmy Vaughn on this weekend out at the Seaboys Heart and Soul, right, playing with Mike Flanagan. That's what's cool about Austin, you know, Jimmy Vaughn on the bill with Eric Clapton in a few months. But, yeah, you can just go see him at the little spot there on South Congress. That's Austin, Texas. That's why we love it. And that's why we appreciate Tom Gimble jumping in and providing our roadmap. Got somebody who lives out in Cedar Park who says, I didn't know Jack Ingram's at the hot spot. That's 5 minutes from my house. I'll be there. So we appreciate folks for the roadmap, Tom. It's always good, man.
Always my pleasure. So much good stuff to share. And you're right. Things are opening back up. People are out. We are expecting maybe some new news from the city today as far as live music events. Maybe going to stage one. We'll see what people say. But, you know, for Austin City Limits, we've been gradually opening back up. And I think we're close to get to the point where we'll soon be at 100%. And I just can't wait. But plenty of great live music to see this week, and wishing everybody a happy Father's Day and a safe weekend.
Tom, thanks. Enjoy the soccer tonight if you make it out, and we'll certainly talk next week on a Wednesday at 9:30. Hopefully we're talking about the Longhorns doing well in Omaha and all the rest, but we'll certainly be talking live music. Thank you, Tom. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, E. Take care.
All right, Tom Gimble, the GM. We are lucky to get his time because he does a good job of putting the notes together. We post them at the website. So, you know, if you're ever thinking later in the week, Thursday, Friday, man, I'd love to get out and see some live music. Got a free night. Just run to the website, hornfm.com, and just check it out. And Tom puts a lot of good shows on there. Marshall Tucker is coming. How about that on a Thursday night? Jack Ingram's going to be out this weekend. Shaky Graves. Good stuff this weekend. All right, coming back. When we do, we will reset the top stories. There are plenty of them. Also tee it up and hand the baton to the Light the Tower guys. Our final segment on this Wednesday coming next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Boy, big developments during the show. We started with a lot of top stories, including the national name, image, and likeness going into effect in the state of Texas, at least signed by the governor, going into effect July 1st, how that will impact UT and college athletics. Also, Chris Beard, another high-level, big-time transfer pickup. Kevin Durant with, as we said, a game that's never been had before. That stat line of over 45 points, over 15 rebounds, and over 10 assists in a single playoff postseason game had never been done before last night, with Kevin Durant leading the Nets to the win over the Brooklyn, or over the Milwaukee Bucks. But now developing stories here into the NBA playoffs. Report that Chris Paul has entered the NBA's COVID-19 protocols and will be out indefinitely. Details are scarce, but I did see on ESPN a little bit ago where Jalen Rose, the former player but does work for ESPN, says he knows for a fact that Chris Paul is vaccinated. Or at least he's been told by Chris Paul that he's vaccinated. So who knows what that story is. We'll see that one develop. Meanwhile, a bigger issue potentially is Kawhi Leonard. Looks like he is out for Game 5 in their series with the Jazz, the all-important Game 5, and he's iffy for the remainder of the series with a knee injury. Yikes. And we had a texter that says, from all Spurs fans, hey, Kawhi, karma is a bee. He got a championship, though, remember, in Toronto?
Yeah, don't forget that.
He got that ring.
Hey, thank you to Smokey Moe's, too. Thank you for the...
breakfast tacos.
Ooh, yeah, baby. That hit the spot.
I'm going to have to go get one of those
in a moment. Hit the spot.
And can I say thank you to my buddy Jake and your buddy Jake over at Student Loan Payment Lawn Care? While I was at the Astros game last night, they came over and did some great work in my flower beds. Unbelievable the way they look now. I guess I got a text from my wife saying, oh, my gosh, they did such a great job. So if you ever need any lawn care and a personal touch when it comes to yard work or beds or anything, check those guys out. They're online at slplawncare.com. Jake's a good dude.
Yeah, there are some great lawn people out there. And believe me, ABC Lawn, I mean, that group, Scott and the group out there,
man.
They're coming out today to look and see what's going on, what I should do. It's getting hot. I'm trying to get the right kind of grass. I'm trying to grow some things. I've got to do some, I got to do a bunch. But they said, Buck, do not touch please do not do anything. Let us come out there and look at it and let you know what to do. So,
yeah, we'll get those
I'm
lawns.
A garden guy.
Well,
I don't know a damn thing about lawns.
Well, you know a lot about gardens, but I know putting that mulch down is big when it gets this hot to keep the water and
from
evaporating. And you're going to dry everything out because the rainy season is over. So, yeah, check them out. Check out SLP Lawn Care. Get your yard ready for the heat that is coming. They do a great job. All right, so we've got that. We've got the breaking news of the NBA. We'll be watching soccer tonight. And are you going to be able to find a ticket to see the U.S. women's national team? I think I'm going to watch it on the tube tonight. I want to see the stadium and how it shows on TV because it's going to be on ESPN.
Well, the way it's going right now, I'll be doing the same so far. That's the way it looks like it's going to happen for me, but that's okay.
And when are you going to get your U.S. Open picks in at hornfm.com? Because it tees off tomorrow morning.
Zay puts them in tomorrow morning.
Okay, you have till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, folks, to get in and get
And it's registered. Easy, is it? Is this one of those contests?
Well, look, it's right there. There's my
is
picks.
That it?
There's mine. It's easy. It's done.
There's no difficulties in getting in there?
I'm still iffy on should I take Brooks Koepka or should I take Patrick Reed or should I take Rory in group two? I'm having a hard time with that.
I'm taking Webb Simpson.
Who?
Webb Simpson. That's what I'm taking in
is
that
he a golfer?
Yes.
Who?
Yeah. I'm taking Weeb Simpson.
Weeb?
I'm taking him.
Over Bruce Koepka?
Over Koepka. Yeah. The red ass. I'm not taking that dude.
I'm trying to decide.
He's too mean.
It's hard. Who do I take in group one? I mean, Xander Schauffele is from San Diego. It's his hometown. There's kind of a cool story there. Bryson is the defending champ.
I'm taking Rahm.
Rahm has got the red ass from what happened in the Memorial Tournament. Justin Thomas is really good.
And the real word out is he was vaccinated. He had his first shot. He just didn't. It wasn't time enough to get the second before they pull the rug out from under him.
Our man Captain Rhino on the text line says his cousin got vaccinated, still got COVID. So Chris Paul could be the same.
Duh.
Roar.
Duh.
So make your picks, hornfm.com. You got to do that by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and you can participate. You know, I think on golfer group four, I'm taking Jason Kokrak.
I am, too.
I like him.
I am.
You know, he went head-to-head with Jordan Spieth recently on a Sunday afternoon and won that tournament. He's in that group with Justin.
That's what I'm taking.
Or Jordan, I should say. What about group five where you got – I'm going to take Will Zalatoris, I think. The long, straight-hitting Will Zalatoris.
I'm going to give Cameron Smith another shot.
Who?
Cameron.
Is he a golfer?
Yeah, Cameron Smith.
No, Cameron Smith's been playing some good golf. I do know about that.
Yeah.
But you're surprising me with your pick of Hideki Matsuyama to be the champ. Now, he won the Masters already.
Yeah, I think he's ready again. He's rested up enough. Then I'm going to take Phil.
Oh, have to take Phil.
Right.
I mean, what a great story it would be. It was a great story a month ago when he was coming down the stretch at the PGA Championship. And
who's that last group? What do you have, seven?
You have nine. I picked nine golfers. Nine golfers. And I'm having a hard time in group. I mean, I'm having a hard time with all of these, by the way.
You're not going to take Sergio.
Come on.
Take Gary Woodlands.
I got Gary Woodland in group nine. But you got Kisner, Hughes, Ortiz, Streelman, and Serge. I'd like to take Serge.
And I'm going
to
take Mark Leishman. Yeah, Mark. Cloris Leishman. I'm taking Cloris Leishman.
Taking all these guys. It's like, who?
Yeah. You know why? Because I can't win when I take the others. My problem is when I take the ones we know, it never works out. So I'm taking Cloris Leishman.
Who was it? So was telling when I played in the Mullet Open. One of our partners was telling me that he was talking to a guy that was watching Sergio Garcia out on the driving range at Spanish Oaks, and that Serge was not. You know, we hit at pins. You know, we try to hit distance, right?
We just try to hit greens.
Like he said, he's talking about the difference between a 32-yard shot and a 34-yard shot. I mean, this is how precise these dudes are, man.
I know,
it's unbelievable. So I'm just trying to hit it near the pin. These guys are like, no, is this, we need 32 or we need 34? We need 35 or we need 37? Unreal. And that's, we heard, and hopefully tomorrow on the program, we're planning to talk to Dave Pels. Dave Pels. It'll be a big show tomorrow. We'll talk to Dave Pels, the short game guru who coaches Phil Mickelson and Patrick Reed. Talk about, I'm sure we'll hear about the Pels shots with Phil Mickelson again this weekend at his hometown.
You think they'll announce it on the air, what that means?
So Dave will break it down for us and how he feels, poised to do this weekend, and Patrick Reed and some other of his guys he works with. Also on the show tomorrow, David Pierce.
Nice.
David Pierce, head baseball coach at Texas. They're doing pretty good. Top overall seed remaining in the College World Series. Our Thursday visit with the skipper will be at 8:30 tomorrow. They're going to, you heard from Craig Way here coming up on Light the Tower, but they fly out today. They're going to head to Omaha this afternoon on the team charter.
Absolutely.
For the 37th trip to Omaha for the Texas Longhorns. So Coach Pierce tomorrow, Dave Pels, a couple of great coaches right there. And your Buck Ons and Buck Offs on a Buck Off Thursday.
Go get some sleep.
Make your picks.
Go take a snooze today, will you?
I am. That Astros-Rangers game. Got the bus pulled into San Marcos where we had parked. It was 2 o'clock in the morning.
Woo!
But the Astros did win. That would have been a bummer. Everybody's driven all the way down there and they lost if you're an Astros fan. But walk-off grand slam for Jose Altuve last night. Buck, have a good Wednesday.
I am.
Get some rest yourself. Isaiah Collier, outstanding job. If you missed any portion of this program, you can hear it on the podcast, including our conversation with Jeff Goodman, the tremendous basketball analyst, talking about Kevin Durant's performance, and Chris Beard, who he thinks has a chance to have Texas in national championship contention in year one as the Longhorn head basketball coach. That's at hornfm.com. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk to you on a Thursday, 6 a.m. We'll hit it live, local, and digital, always streaming on your Horn app and always at hornfm.com.